Who remembers something from yesterday's class? Yesterday's. Yes. Oh. Should have remembered something else. Thank you. Anything else? And not just worry about it, but try to listen. Oh, this mantra. Oh. Anything else? Thank you.
You have another line, this wicked soul is tending with the holy names is the other medicine.
It is, it's no different from the false ego. Krishna Bhule Sevji Anadir Bahimuk Atta Eva Maya Tati Sam Sadhu is the essence or the first result of our turning our back on Krishna. Yesterday's. Yes. Yes. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna calls Arjuna Mahabaho. What does Mahabaho mean? Mighty arm. And either Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or Baladev Vidyabhusan comment, one of the two comment that Krishna is calling him Mahabaho because he says that if you can control your mind, then you have defeated the crest jewel of all warriors. Then you are really Mahabaho, almighty on, a great hero. Thank you. Anything else? Yes, from now on, no one is going to identify with the mind anymore, and we'll keep the mind fully under control. We should take a vote on that. All in favor? And then now we're going to ask how you did with your japa this morning. How did you, anyone want to report back? I'll tell you how I did.
Yes.
And how did that affect your consciousness? I went like this, so I guess that's what I would assume happened. How did that affect your consciousness?
I had a long chair.
And what did you tell your mind when it said that? Yeah. Now tomorrow we're going to deal a lot with this specific issue. But today, how did anyone else do? Thank you. Beautiful. Were you able to concentrate? Then the question could be asked, is that chanting? it's like saying, you know, do you read Bengali? Do you know the Bengali script?
No.
Or how about Italian? Can you read in English?
Yes.
Have you read Italian? But you could read it, but you wouldn't understand anything. So that's like chanting. Is that right? Yes, that's exactly what Krishna says to do. Yato yuto nispalati manas chanchana mastiram tatastato niyamyetad atmani eva visham nayit. That from wherever the mind wanders, this is the determination. This is the mantra for japa. Wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must catch it and bring it back under the control of the self. And that means to listen. This is the thing that one has to decide. I want to make the attempt to listen. Whether we succeed or not, that's between Krishna, it's up to Krishna, ultimately. But our business is to make the attempt, and we'll speak about that today. Yes, yes. Yes, very often. Because, how did you realize that? Okay, and then you were trying to listen, and then what happened? And then what happened? Then a little voice said to you, you don't have any devotion. Why are you trying to listen? You should get devotion. And then you can listen. And you said, yeah, that really sounds like a good idea. Well, I really need devotion. I shouldn't really. Lalita, Hare Bol. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Well, I get whole panyao. Yeah, don't listen. I mean, don't listen to your mind. Listen to the chanting. Say, yes, yes, have no devotion. I should probably listen now, shouldn't I? Yes, we'll talk about that later. Now, let me just hear this one mantra. many face, many masks the mind will take. Because where will devotion come from? From the cleansing of the heart, from the hearing of Shastra? It's hard to be that sincere, isn't it? Oh, it's over a long period of time. And that's actually ultimately the simple problem, is lack of sincerity. There's a famous talk with Prabhupada in the very early days of the movement with some devotees, perhaps Brahmananda Prabhu and Satsubraj. I think Brahmananda was asking about this philosopher and that philosopher, how Krishna conscious are they? Is this one Krishna conscious? Is that one Krishna conscious? Is that one Krishna conscious? And Prabhupada's reply was, their sincerity is their Krishna consciousness. So I think that's what we end up confronting, ultimately, the lack of sincerity. But I don't want to jump ahead till tomorrow. But yet, if we can just listen to Krishna's holy names, Cheto Dorpana Marjanam Bhavama Devagaram, we can just listen. And yesterday I mentioned that perhaps we should chant more and talk less. But then I considered talking less, and I ended up bringing four times as many books, so I'm going to end up talking more. So I better start. We'll start with the mind again, the wicked mind. In Bhagavad Gita, in 7:27 and 28, very famous verses right at the end of the chapter with Krishna. Could you ask Mahabharat Prabhu to a little more softly? I think it's Mahabharat. You can't hear it there, but it comes right in the window. Where Krishna says he gives some, he defines practically how we are in the material world with each dvesha. This is 7:27 and then 7:28, but mostly 7:27. Each dvesha, we mentioned this verse yesterday, samutena dvanva mohena bharata. So due to the desires, the attractions and the repulsions of the mind, I want this, I don't want this to be here. Samutena, due to the arising from dvanva, the dualities of the material world. I want, I don't want. I want, I don't want. This is what goes, this is the accepting and rejecting that simply occupies the mind all day long and much of the night as well. Dvanva mohena bharata, this duality of I want and I don't want something on the material level, this causes the mohena, the bewilderment of all living entities. And sarva bhutani sammohan, all living entities, sarva bhutani, are bewildered by this. And sarga yante parantapa, while taking birth, this is the delusion of all living entities. This something is worthy in the material world. Something is not worthy. It will make me happy. It won't make me happy. Let me push it away. So, O seer of Bharata, O descendant of Bharat, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. This is, and they all this sits simply within the mind. The mind is carrying this, and we're imagining this will make me happy. This, and if I only, I have one problem only, and if I didn't have this problem, then I would be happy. And this pulls us and pushes us from one body to the next, birth after birth after birth. From one body to the next, it is deep. So therefore, if we just identify with the mind holding on to some desire or another desire, if we think that is me, the mind grabs something, I want this, and then I say, yes, I want it. And it's actually quite amazing if you can distance, and half the process, the meditations in Buddhism, and also with pranayama and pratyahara. So much of those are simply meant to create a distance between the mind and its desires, between the person, the mind, and its desires. By observing the mind, this is the practice of vipassana, Buddhist meditation, just observing the mind and learning to not identify with it, that this is me. They sit there for an hour and your leg or your cheek or something begins to itch, and you watch it. You just feel it and experience it, and you don't identify with it. And it goes away. This is the nature of the mind. We think something is all important. This is the only thing that's worth anything at this particular moment. And then, in 5 seconds, it can completely shift, and you forget, the mind completely releases that and grabs onto something else. And during that time, when the mind wants that, and if I'm thinking that's me, then I want that with my full self. And then we wonder why our life is so up and down and up and down. It's because of full identification with the mind, with what the mind happens to be desiring at this particular moment. So therefore, by that identification, we are locking us. It's like horses running out of control. And by identification of the mind, of the person, the soul with the mind, it's like hooking ourselves onto the horses that are out of control, and they're running this way and running that way and running this way, and we're just trying to hold on and wondering why life is so rough and difficult. And the message of the Bhagavad Gita and the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam is simply to stop this identification and instead identify with being a servant of Krishna. I am Krishna's. So therefore, Bhagavad Gita 6.6 says, Bandur atmatmanas tasya yenat maivap manajita natmanas tu shatruve varta tatmaiva shatruve. For he who has conquered his mind, the mind of is his best friend. Like the person who is driving the horses where he wants to go. But for one who has failed to do so, for one who has failed to conquer his mind, that the mind is running out of control and he's holding on to the horses, his very mind will remain his greatest enemy, most dangerous of enemies. So that's from the Bhagavad Gita. And then, in Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 25th chapter, 15th verse, Kapila Muni says, the stage in which the consciousness of the living entity is attracted by the three modes of material nature, because the mind is full of desires in the mode of passion, goodness, and ignorance, mostly passion, because passion creates unlimited desires. The stage in which the consciousness of the living entity is attracted by the three modes of material nature is called conditioned life. When we are attached to, attracted to, and identifying with the desires born of the three modes of material nature in our mind, that it is that defines what conditioned life is, the life of a Bhadajiv. But when the same consciousness, this consciousness, the self and the consciousness of the self, when that consciousness is attached to the Supreme, to Krishna, instead of to the mind, the same consciousness, but the issue is what is it going to be attached to? When that same consciousness is attached to Krishna, one is situated in the consciousness of liberation. One is actually free. Not in the material world, actually. If one is just attached to Krishna and not attached to one's mind. So therefore, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita 18.65. Does anyone know what that verse is? Manmana Bhava Madbhakto. First thing is Manmana. Fix your mind upon me. Bhava Madbhakto. And become my devotee with devotion. Fix your mind upon me. Krishna says to do that, and then Sarvadhamam Pratyaja. You give up everything. You become my devotee, and don't worry. I'll protect you fully. Mame, come to me only. Sharanam, Braja, surrender. So then the question is obviously how to attain that. How to attain that? And the answer we're hearing, this is Mahaprabhu's gift, how to transfer the soul's consciousness from this material energy where he doesn't even know, he doesn't know anything but the desires in his mind, doesn't know anything but that. How to transfer the consciousness of the living entity from that side to the spiritual side where he's attached very, very deeply to Krishna. So Mahaprabhu said, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. What does that mean? Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Yes, but it means more than all glories to Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Huh? All victory. This, the chanting of Krishna's names is victorious in this world. Victorious in this world means transferring our consciousness from the material energy to the spiritual energy. Specifically, Mahaprabhu says, by seven benedictions, beginning with the cleansing of the heart. Sarvatma snapanam, bathing the soul in nectar of his relation, alive. The soul becomes alive and bathes in the nectar of his relationship with Krishna, becomes awake. Because Krishna and Krishna's names are the same. So that's the methodology that's taught. We have to endeavor. Listen to this, though. This is from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Now, this is the month of Kartik. What's the other name of the month of Kartik? Damodar, yes, so Damodar, that means that Lord Krishna is bound around his waist by Mother Yasoda. So the pastime is so wonderful, and if we are fortunate, we see the wonderful diorama display in the temple where Krishna is afraid and tears are actually running down his eyes, and the mascara, the kajal, covering his eyes is running down. He's actually crying. And Mother Yasoda's, her vatsalya prem, her love for him in the mood of mother, is just overflowing. Her ecstasy is so high. And Krishna, why did she bind Krishna with rope? We have to ask Nanda Maharaj this question. Prabhu, why did Mother Yasoda bind Krishna? What naughty thing had Krishna done? Yes, and then what did he do? What was in the pots? And what did he do? He ate as much as he was angry because his mother had put him down to she was feeding him milk from her breast, and she put him down because the milk pot at the stove was boiling over. And Krishna became angry. My mother has neglected me. I'm going to do something so naughty. So he went to where the butter pot was, and he broke the butter pot, and he ate as much as he wanted, feeling very much, very justified for his naughty act because his mother had put him down. And then he started feeding it to the monkeys. So naughty, causing trouble. Mother Yasoda saw that, and she thought, oh, this boy is so restless. He does so many naughty things. And when mothers think in this way, their hearts become full of love even more. He's so naughty. So what should I do? If he grows up doing whatever he wants, in this way, I don't know what will happen to him. So therefore, it is my duty to punish him. So she began chasing him with a stick. And that's when Krishna began crying. And Mother Yasoda, but she couldn't catch him. But then she finally caught him. Krishna allowed himself to be caught because Mother Yasoda was breathing heavy and she was perspiring because it's also very hot when in the daytimes, if you've noticed. It can be quite warm. So and then she began to, I'm going to tie, he was too afraid, she thought. I don't want him to be really afraid, but he still has to learn his lesson. So she put down the stick and she got some rope. And what happened next? And she wanted to tie him up so he wouldn't do anything naughty again. And remember, later on, I think it's Kunti Devi was remembering this pastime, but she was conscious that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and she's thinking of Krishna. Universes can come from the pores of his body. He's all powerful. His form is unlimitedly powerful. And there he is, crying out of fear of Mother Yasoda. And Kunti Devi is astounded by this. She's astounded how Krishna becomes so controlled by the devotion of his devotees. How is God doing this? Atma Parjanta Vatanyata gives himself to his devotees in this way. So what did Mother Yasoda? She started gathering rope to tie Krishna up. So what a concept of God this is. This is incredible. So then, but because Krishna is unlimited, his form, he's unlimitedly powerful, he's unlimitedly beautiful. Just imagine what it means to be unlimitedly beautiful. We've seen the beauty of this world, but Krishna's beauty is unlimited. Just imagine how beautiful unlimited beauty is. He's unlimitedly powerful. There is no limit to his power, his potencies. And there he is, with the cudgel running down his eyes, with the tears carrying it. And this is Krishna. And Mother Yasoda is trying to tie him up, but his unlimited body keeps expanding beyond the ropes that she has. So she got more rope. So Vishwanath, this is text 16 and 17 of 10:9. And then we'll read Vishwanath's comment to 18. The new rope was also short by a measurement of 2 fingers. And when another rope was joined to it, still 2 fingers too short. Their shortness could not be overcome. Thus Mother Yasoda joined what other ropes were available in the entire house. But still she failed in her attempt to bind Krishna. Mother Yasoda's friends, the elderly gopis in the neighborhood, was smiling, enjoying the fun. Mother Yasoda is getting more ropes and it's always this much too short. And she gets more ropes because Krishna is unlimited. Mother Yasoda, though laboring in that way, was also smiling. She was struck with wonder. Because of Mother Yasoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When child Krishna saw that his mother thus tired and fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. Now there is a lesson in this for our chanting. The village women advised Mother Yasoda, "You cannot bind Krishna even with all the ropes in this house. Then it must be concluded that it is his good fortune that it should not be. Listen, Yasoda, give up this attempt to bind him." But Mother Yasoda was determined. "Even if evening comes, and even if I tie together all the ropes in the whole village, I must find out just once the extent of my son's waist." Yasoda wanted to teach a lesson to her son. In her persistence, she would not give up her attempt to bind the Lord. In the competition between Krishna and his devotee, the devotee's determination always prevails. This is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. Thus, seeing his mother's fatigue, Lord Krishna gave up his own persistence. So Krishna was determined not to be bound, And Mother Yasoda was determined to bind him. So Krishna, seeing his devotee's persistence and determination, his own persistence went away. So Krishna's mercy, which reigns as the king of all his potencies and illuminates all his potencies, it melts the heart of the Lord. Krishna's mercy. It melts the heart of the Lord and turns it into butter. The appearance of Krishna's mercy made his satya sankalpa, that means his, I've decided to do this and it is what will happen. So his mercy, his kripa shakti, melted his heart, and that appearance made his determination shakti, his satya sankalpa shakti, and his potency, vibhuti shakti, immediately disappear. The distance of two fingers was filled by the devotee's effort and hard work, parisramam, and the Lord's causeless mercy, Krishna Kripa. These are the two fingers. The bhakta nishta, the firm faith of the devotee, seen in his tireless endeavor to serve and worship the Lord, and the swanishta, the steady quality in the Lord, which brings forward his mercy upon seeing the devotee's effort and fatigue, caused Krishna to be bound. In the absence of these two, the absence of these two, the rope will remain two fingers too short. What are the two? The effort, parisrama, and the mercy. But when bhakti nishta and swanishta are present, the Lord can be bound. In this pastime, Krishna showed Yasoda and the whole world that only love can bind the Supreme Lord. So there is something for us to learn in that, about our endeavor to chant properly, that we cannot actually do it by our own effort, but if we don't make the effort, then the holy names will think, why? Krishna will think, well, it's not that serious at this point, so let me make him more serious, and I know just how to do it. And you know what he'll do next? I don't know, but he has a special plan for each and every one of us. He knows just what to do to make us more determined. Because once, one chance, one name even, Krishna has his eye on that devotee and doesn't let him go, his eye or his hand. So, that brings us to the point of discussing on the second of the Sukshastakam verses of Mahaprabhu. Why don't we, maybe you could take out your sheets. But everyone probably knows it. Why don't we say the first one and then we'll say the second one and go over the meaning of the second one.
Chetodapanamajanam bhavamahadavagmina vapanam Priyakaraiva chandrikam vitaranam vidyavaru jivanam Anandam buddhivardhanam pratipatam puanam vitasadhanam Savatmasnaparam param vijayate si Krishna sankirtanam Nam nam akari bahura niva sava shaktis.
Nam nam akari. All your holy names of the Lord, akari, manifest. Bahu, bahuda. Many, many, many various kinds of niva sava shakti, your own potencies. Your holy name has all your own potencies in them. Each and every one of your holy names.
Nam nam akari bahura niva sava shaktis tata pitani amita smarane nakala.
And in those holy names, there is no restriction of the chanting of those holy names. To perform Vedic rituals or rites, there is a restriction of the proper time, the proper place. The whole Vedic system is really run strictly on time and place and qualification, and you have to be twice initiated, and then you have to be initiated into the particular sacrifice, into a particular mantra, and you have to have this qualification and that qualification, the time and the place. But in chanting Krishna's names, there is no restriction, and they have all potencies of Bina Tam Namanamano. Krishna is there. So Tatapita Niyamatas Smarane Nakala, there is no restriction of time or place. Itadrasi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi. But although you've mercifully placed all your potencies in your holy names, durdaiva midrisam miha nanuraga. What does nanuraga mean? No attachment. Rag means attachment. Nanuraga means no attachment. And what does durdaiva mean? Misfortune or unfortunate. So even though Krishna so mercifully made himself available in his holy name, Durdaivam Idvi Samihananam Dhanuraga, unfortunate as I am, Durdaivam Nanuraga, unfortunate as I am, I have no attraction for Krishna's holy names. I sit down to chant Krishna's names, and my mind doesn't want to really listen, I want to be doing so many other things as I chant. I have no attraction to associating with Krishna's holy names. And then even 1 minute after, say, I listen to some mantras, and I'm able to listen a little bit, and there's a great sweetness may come to the heart. And then in 1 minute, I can think, okay, I've done that. Now my mind starts grabbing onto something else. This is the untrained mind. Durdaivam, and this is the most unfortunate thing. This is the most, or the only unfortunate thing. If someone has no fortune in the material world, but has this one fortune, that he's attracted to chanting Krishna's holy names, he's the most fortunate person if he has that taste. And on the other hand, if someone is completely fortunate in the material world, we all imagine what a fortunate person is, a person who has fame and wealth and beauty and intelligence and strength and everything. But such a person, if he has no attraction to Krishna's holy names, to God, he is not fortunate. He is unfortunate. Because in a snap of the fingers, in a blink of the eye, it's all gone with the passage of time. It's gone just like that. How old are you now, Prabhu? Nanda Maharaj. How old are you? 60. When you're 60, life seems to have passed very quickly, doesn't it? It goes so fast. So fast. And then whatever wealth, whatever opulence we have, 70, 80, finished, and then our next body, all we leave behind. So what is the value of these temporary things? What is the use? If using the temporary, tarappa dhruvam artadam, we don't gain the eternal. So what stops us? Bhaktivinoda Thakur asks the question and answers it. What stops us? What makes us durdaivam? What does durdaiva mean again? Unfortunate and not having attraction to the holy name. What is it that makes us unfortunate? Anyway, I'm not asking that question for you to answer right now, because that's what I'm going to read. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Bhajan Rahasya describes there are four types of things that make us unfortunate, that take away our attraction for Krishna's holy names. And they are called anartas. Artha means wealth. Anartha means things that are not our wealth at all. These make us unfortunate. And he says they are, the four of them are tattva vibhrama, not knowing the philosophy. And in each of these four, there are four components. And we'll talk about them slightly or shortly. So the first one is, what is it? Anyone remember? Tattva Vibhrama. Not understanding the tattva, the philosophy, Vibhrama, being confused about it. The second one is Asat Trishna. Trishna means thirst. Thirst for the asat, the desire, temporary, material desires, basically. And there's four different kinds. The third one is aparad, offenses. And in other places, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and others have said that this is really the only cause of our lack of success in chanting Krishna's names and in Krishna consciousness. It's simply our namaparads. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives other reasons here as well. And the fourth one is called Hridaya Dolabam, which means weaknesses of heart. So, Tattva Vibhrama, there are four things that really must be known or will become bewildered. The first is we have to know who is Krishna, who is God. We cannot think that we are God. We have to know what is God, who is God, who is Krishna. The second is we have to know who we are. We have to know that we are his servants. This is the philosophy. We don't have any other identity other than servants of Krishna, eternal servants of Krishna. The third one is knowing the process of awakening our Krishna consciousness, awakening that relationship. And the fourth one is not knowing what is favorable and what is unfavorable to our advancement to Krishna consciousness. That's Tattva Vibhrama. And then, the next one, anyone remember what the second topic was? This is the anarthas that make us unfortunate. Asat Trishna, the thirst for the temporary material desires. There also are four different kinds. You can check which of these perhaps are prominent in you. Desire for material objects, just the sense gratification of this world. Desire for heavenly comforts. That's if we have bold aspirations and we want heavenly. Desire for mystic powers. We want to be able to control things. In that way, siddhi kami, that's called. And the desire for liberation. Desire to be free from all this suffering and just get out of the suffering. Those are the four asat trishna. Then we'll talk about Hridaya Dolabam and then move to aparads, because there's a few. I want to spend most of the time on that we'll talk about this is on aparads, and specifically one point for some other interesting points too. Listen to the Hridaya Dolabams, the weaknesses of heart. Attachment to objects not related to Krishna. Attachment to things not related to Krishna. That's weakness. Deceitfulness or fault finding. Kutinati. Crookedness in the mind and behavior. Hypocrisy like that. And Jiva Goswami in Bhaktisandarbha says that this is caused by aparads actually. When a devotee becomes crooked, the deceitfulness or fault finding and enviousness, those he puts together. And the fourth one is desire for fame, pratishta. Labha puja pratishtari yata upasaka gan. Krishnadas Kaviraj says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, these are upasaka or weeds in devotional service. Desire for fame. And in other places it describes this is the hardest one to get rid of, pratishta. And this is actually Vishwanath Chakravarti described this in Madhurya Kadamani. Trying to enjoy the products of devotional service the things that are the sense enjoyment that is produced of devotional service, especially fame, because if you're a devotee, people will treat you with respect and loving that. So these are the anarthas that make us unfortunate and take away our taste for Krishna's holy names, and we see our mind becomes filled with these things. And what was the fourth one again of the four big categories? Huh? Aparad or offense. Now, we know. Oh yes, I didn't read those. Yes, sorry. The four of those of aparads, offenses against the holy name, nam aparad. Against offenses against the form of the Lord, and I think this actually refers to seva aparad, worshipping the form, worshipping the deities. So nam aparad, seva aparad, and Vaishnava aparad. This is a slightly different configuration of these four. And listen to this one as the fourth one. Offenses towards other living entities. Just anyone. These take away or disallow us from having a taste in Krishna's holy names. Of all the offenses against the holy name, I would like to talk about just one of them, the one that's perhaps most dangerous for the devotees, and of course that's Vaishnava aparad. Sato nindam paramam aparanam vitanute. Jiva Goswami lists several that are most dangerous, considering the holy name, the glories of the holy name, an exaggeration, or artavad, just a over glorification or imaginary. And namno baladyasya papabuddhi navidite tasya marhi shuddhi, committing sins on the strength of chanting. I'll sin and then I'll chant to remove it. And then this one of sato nindam, or criticism or blasphemy of devotees. And this is the one thing that's difficult to live when you're living in the association of devotees. Always the association of devotees is recommended, but this is the one item that's difficult in the association of devotees. Haribol. The one item, because there's such a tendency to become familiar and not see the sincerity of someone, of a devotee, of someone who's trying to chant Hare Krishna and serve. And there's a tendency to see all the faults, and that quickly turns into offense against the devotees. And Prabhupada instituted in the morning program the saying, Vansha Kalpaturvyascha Kripa Sindhuve Vichar Patitanam Pabhinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah, specifically to try to protect the devotees from committing offenses to each other by offering obeisances every day to the devotees. But we tend to make it mechanical. At least I do. You know, just offer obeisances, sort of say it with a tenth of the mind and just waiting to be doing something else. But this is the most dangerous thing in one sense. So to criticize a devotee, to criticize devotees, and this causes the durdaivam, the unfortunateness that takes away our taste for chanting Krishna's holy name. So naturally we ask the question is, who is a devotee then? I can't criticize the devotees. Okay, well, who is a devotee? Listen to this. This comes from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila. When the devotees who are visiting Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri are about to go back to their homes after being with Mahaprabhu during the time of the Rath Yatra for 4 months or so, they're with Mahaprabhu, and when it's time to leave, go back to Bengal and go back to their homes, it's a very touchy time, it's very touching, heartfelt times. And the devotees ask Mahaprabhu some questions at that time. They tend to do that. So, Ramananda Vasu and Satyaraj Khan, two devotees, they both submitted questions at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time. And Satyaraj Khan said, "My dear Lord, being a householder and a materialistic man, I do not know the process of advancing in spiritual life." So this is the real question that a devotee wants to know. How can I advance? I don't know. I'm so materialistic. My heart is so captivated and my consciousness so absorbed in materialism. So how can I advance in spiritual life? I therefore submit myself unto your lotus feet and request you to give me orders. Tell me what to do. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied to the question of how to advance. Without cessation, without stopping, continue chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. Whenever possible, serve him and his devotees, the Vaishnavas. Upon hearing this, Satyaraj said, "How can I recognize a Vaishnava?" Now, this is specifically the question. That who should we not blaspheme? Right? Who should we not criticize? How do we know who is a Vaishnava and who is not? "Please let me know what a Vaishnava is. What are his common symptoms? What are the symptoms of each and every Vaishnava?" Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once is worshipable and is the topmost human being. Eka Krishna name kare sava papachai nava vida bhakti purna namahaitehai." Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna once, a person is relieved from all the reactions of sinful life. One can complete the nine processes of devotional service simply by chanting the holy name. So who not to criticize? That leaves us with not very many people, does it? So be very, very, very careful. I once, quite a few years ago, during Kartik, many of the devotees who live in Vrindavan especially, they take Kartik Vratas. They make a vow, you know, "I won't eat this, I will eat that, I'll eat this amount of times, I'll chant extra rounds, I'll read this, I'll walk around Vrindavan every day, I'll bathe in the Yamuna every day." So a few days before Kartik, in sometime in the 80s, I was trying to think of what my vow is going to be. And one devotee said to me, "Why don't you do something interesting? Why don't you vow not to criticize any devotees?" And being a romantic sort of guy, I thought, idealistic, I thought of, yes, that sounds like a wonderful idea. So I made the vow not to criticize any devotees for the month of Kartik. And you know what I found out? First of all, I kept it for about 2 days at most. And not because I wanted to break it, but because what I found out was that so many times every day, because I was trying not to do it, what I became conscious of is how many times, just without even thinking, without even thinking of the consequences or anything, how many times I think and say bad things about devotees. And it was very, extremely embarrassing. It was, what to speak of, terrifying. Of what that does to one's devotional life and what it does to one's ability to chant the holy names properly and have a taste. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Harinam Chintamani, I'm just going to read a little of the fourth chapter, when he describes this offense. He says, he describes, when he's talking about chanting Hare Krishna and avoiding the offenses, he talks about sato nindam paramama param vitanute, not criticizing the devotees, blaspheming the devotees. And then he starts describing the 26 qualities of a devotee, because he wants to make a very specific point. that there are 26 qualities of devotees, and they're very exalted qualities. But there's one quality in there he calls the Swarupa Lakshana, and the others are the Tatastha Lakshana. The Tatastha means the secondary characteristics, and the Swarupa Lakshana of a devotee or the is the prime essential characteristic, the thing that makes someone a devotee. And he says, out of all the qualities, even if someone doesn't possess any of the more refined qualities of a devotee, if there's this one quality, the Swarupa Lakshana, of he's actually taken shelter of Krishna, he has nowhere to go other than to Krishna. That here, Krishna is my Lord. Even though he may be rough and crude and do so many horrible things, if he has this one quality, don't blaspheme him. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is warning us, don't judge devotees casually and externally. So often, I think, oh, this one does this, and this one does that, and he's like this, and she's like that, and oh, no, another one like that. So many times, every day, without thinking carefully, is this one, what to speak of it, has this person chanted Hare Krishna even once, but have they made Krishna the shelter of their lives? And I'm going to be the one who judges, no, this one hasn't made Krishna his shelter, this one's not a real devotee, this one is a real devotee, this one isn't, this isn't. I'm the judge. So how careful we have to be. And to press the point even more, Bhaktivinoda Thakur here, he explains how Krishna sees things. And what he does in Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he summarizes something that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in his commentary on Api Chetsudra Chiro Bhajatein Mam Ananya Bhak, from the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And I would like to read the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on that. I'll read it from the Surrender Unto Me, I believe. I'll read the whole thing. It's a little bit long, but we're actually fairly... This is the last thing we'll read before we'll have the break, so it's worth it to listen to this. This is how Krishna sees devotees. And compare that to how I see devotees. And which way would I rather be seen? So the verse, of course, there's two verses. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he's to be considered saintly because he's properly situated in his determination. Determination means ananya bhakti, that he's actually made Krishna his shelter. And then in the next verse, chipram bhavati dharmatma shashvak chantim nagachati kanteya pradijanihi name bhakta pranashati. He quickly becomes righteous, even if he commits the most abominable activity. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. So here is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. Please listen closely because it's astounding actually. One might ask, but if someone, because he says sadur eva, what does sadur eva mean? Such a person. Apichet sudaracharo. Sudaracharo means terrible activities. But sadur eva, what does sadur eva mean? He's Eva, certainly a sadhu, a saintly person. He's done sudaracharo, but he's certainly a sadhu. So one might ask, this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment, one might ask, but if someone is corrupted by such bad behavior, how can he be a sadhu? This is answered. He should be considered as such as a sadhu. And thought of as a sadhu. He should be considered is an injunctive statement. He must be. He should be. He should be seen as a sadhu.
If this injunction is disobeyed, there will be unfavorable consequences. In other words, the evidence for the truth of this, it is that it is simply my command, Krishna says. Because he's Krishna saying, sadhu evits. Krishna is saying, you should consider him a sadhu. Even if he's done horrible things, what to speak of most of the devotees. Remember, we're speaking of this in the context of avoiding namaparad, in the context of avoiding anartas, in the context of changing our durdaiva, our unfortunateness, to fortune, in the context of being able to chant Krishna's name and get the benefit of cleansing the heart and developing love for Krishna. So why should we do it? Because Krishna says, sadhu eva. The words come from his own lotus mouth. Well, someone might say, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur continues, one may be considered a sadhu partially to the extent that he's worshipping you, but to the extent that he's usurping other men's wives and property, he's not to be considered a sadhu. Quite reasonable, yes? This is answered by the word eva, only. He should only be considered a sadhu in all ways, completely. We should never view him as not a sadhu. His determination is completely fixed. That's Apichet Sudratro Bhajate Mam. He's worshipping me, Ananya Bhak. Now this is what Ananya Bhak means. It means, I may go to hell or obtain an animal birth because of my unfavorable sinful reactions, but I will never give up my exclusive worship of Sri Krishna. This is the point that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has made. Krishna is his shelter. Such determination is praiseworthy. But one may ask, why do you accept the worship of such an irreligious person? Why do you consume the food and drink offered by one whose heart is contaminated by lust, anger, and other faults? In response, the Lord says, Chipram Bhavati Dharma. He quickly becomes religious. This is not expressed, he's going to quickly become, or he will soon achieve peace. Rather, the present tense is used. He becomes and he attains. The Lord continues, this means that immediately after he commits impiety, he remembers me and feels remorse. He thus quickly becomes religious. He thinks, alas, alas, there is no person more fallen than me. I defile the reputation of the community of devotees. Damn me. Again and again, feeling remorse like this, he achieves complete peace and detachment. Well, one may say, if he actually becomes religious, there can be no argument about such a person. But what about a devotee whose behavior is wicked and who fails to give up his bad behavior throughout his whole life? What can be said about him? This is quite an interesting purport. Always affectionate to his devotees, the Lord responds to this doubt with complete confidence and some anger. In the words beginning Kauntaya, my devotee never perishes. Even when he dies, he never falls down. To encourage Arjuna, who is disturbed with sorrow and apprehension over the thought that hard-hearted quibblers who indulge in false logic will not accept this, the Lord says, O Kauntaya, go to the assembly of these disputants, these persons who are arguing, and making a loud sound with drum and kartals, raise your arms fearlessly and declare my promise. I, Krishna, am the Supreme Lord, and even if my devotee is wicked in his behavior, he will never perish. On the contrary, such a devotee is sure to become successful. Their bad logic will be shattered by this confident declaration. They will certainly take shelter of you, Krishna says to Arjuna, as their guru. Such is the interpretation given by Sridhar Swami in this commentary. And then there's a little more, but on a slightly different topic. So when Krishna is so incredibly kind and compassionate and seeing the good in his devotees,
I must feel terribly embarrassed on how I deal and how the pleasure I get pleasure out of criticizing the devotees. So this is why the Daivam Idrisamihana Janudaga. Even though Krishna so kindly makes himself available in that way through his holy names, and there are no rules and regulations. Krishna is so kind, but still, Durdaivam, I am unfortunate and I have no attraction. So we want to remove our unfortunateness, and perhaps the most important thing we can do is this one, is we should refrain from criticizing devotees. And if we have to, if it's our duty to correct a devotee, because just like a parent has to correct the children, a temple president has to correct the devotees, we should use the model of a parent correcting the child, and it should be done with affection, not with malice and envy and enmity. It should be done in the mood of a service. And Prabhupada said that his father, when he would correct him, he would say, "My dear son, I'm your father, it is my duty to correct you. No malice." So again, this is in the context of improving our chanting, and the minds, our minds, my mind, tends to have such a nasty habit in this regard, a very nasty, nasty habit. Okay, break. Now, unless there's 2 minutes worth of questions, if there's any, but not more than that, because I want to have a break. And then I have to go and get the papers that I forgot back at my house. Some very nice papers. Yes, not only material desires, but that's one of the things. That's asat trishna. There's also aparad, tattva vibhrama, and offenses. Vidya dolabham. Yes. It's like the kunjara socham, the bathing of an elephant. You know, we chant, and then we criticize, and we do this, and we watch television and go to the movies or whatever we do, and we put more dirt on us, fill our heart with more, and then we do this and we criticize this one and we criticize that one, as if we really know what the way Krishna sees things, and then we wonder why we don't improve so much. So we should come up, but tomorrow we shall put some time into reconciling these things. Any other questions or comments? It seems to be. In Namaparad and Vaishnavaparad. So one of the Namaparads is Vaishnavaparad. But here Vaishnavaparad, Bhaktivinoda Thakur seems to be giving it its own category so that we become especially conscious of trying to avoid it. Stressing it. Yeah, but Satrishna is more sense enjoyment type of thing. And of course, they're connected, certainly. But sometimes, there's so many things we can become attached to that don't have anything to do with Krishna consciousness. Yeah, I think there's some overlapping here. Yeah. Okay, no more questions now because I'm going to have to go back. And so, Krishna willing, exactly at a quarter of in 15 minutes, let's meet here and have something very wonderful to read. For this 15 minutes, everyone try not to criticize the devotees. 1 minute at a time, perhaps.